And we are now recording. Cool. All right, so just a quick reminder to go and talk to all of your local mortgage brokers. I've basically found that they're keen and they're looking for some people to send clients to after I chat with them. So if you're not getting that outcome when you talk to them, you and I need to talk so we can work out what it is you're not doing that I was doing. All right, so my topic today is about what you do when you've got a client who you've taken through the process, step one through to step seven, and you've had the call on step seven, you've spent the time to go through everything, and lo and behold, there are some challenges. Now, it's rare that you find someone to do a spending plan and they're just like, oh, wow, that's amazing. I've got no problems. My finances are all just in top shape and perfect. Thank you for revealing that to me. It's more likely that they're going to go with you. Okay, it looks like there are some challenges, but I can see that there'll be light at the end of the tunnel. What do we do next? How do we sort out the problems? So I've created a document that I've put up in the Business Centre. And those of you that haven't been to the Business Centre yet, if you go to the Resources Centre, there'll be a link. There's a link at the top that takes you through to the Business Centre, where we're sort of trying to make everything easier to find and more logically laid out. And Kathy's been working on that and doing a great job. So if you were to go to the Business Center after this call, you'll find I've added two new entries in there. And I'm just going to do a screen share. And where is it? There we go. So under general resources, I've put here step seven solutions, a process to identify and solve problems with a client's plan. Click here. It's just a PDF. And one step backwards, two steps forwards calculator, which is a spreadsheet, which we'll have a look at in a minute. So let's have a look at the process to identify and solve problems. I've got that here on the screen. I just need to stop that share and start this one. If I can just find it. There it is. All right, hopefully you can all see that. So this is a document that I've been working on for the last few weeks. And it basically sets out, this is, you know, you've just gone through everything, had your step seven call. If there are alarm bells ringing, what I've learned over the years is never ever go, holy smoke, you might as well go and jump off a cliff. It looks like you can't afford your life. This is terrible. Panic, panic, panic. Never do that, because I have, when I think back to all of the people who I've worked with, I don't think I've ever, maybe two or three people where I've gone, you know what, I can't help you because you obviously committed to double, you know, what you're earning, and there is just no hope for you. You need to go and talk to someone who can bail you out. Most people that I have worked with aren't that silly that they couldn't see that their weekly income was X and their immediately weekly outgoings was close. What they may have overlooked was longer term saving for replacing the car, the tyres, the fridge, the batteries, even their quarterly and six monthly and yearly expenses may have been overlooked, but they have got their current, you know, weekly and fortnight expenses covered. So it's rare that you'll come across somebody who can't afford their day-to-day life. So I've got here, okay, logical step-by-step process for you to follow. And the first thing I've said is, before you go slashing people's wrists, check all the information that's been entered is actually valid. So, you know, first of all, did they put in everything on their list, or did they just put their highest priority expenses? If the previous step they filled in their list and they've prioritised highest priority and the luxuries and the in-betweens, the reds, the green and the orange, the yellow, sorry. If they've gone and put everything in, it's possible that they can't afford that. It's always difficult to get them to take things out. It's much easier to get them to put things in. So you really want to stress to people when they go into step six and putting in their highest priority expenses, but they only put in the highest priority.
I think what you said. Be Clyde.
Hang on a second. Who's that?
Yeah, you get that rolling, and I can then figure it out.
I think that's a Stephanie in the background there.
Sorry, yes, me.
That's all right. Just mute yourself, Stephanie. You're whispering, but I could hear you whispering loudly.
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
I was trying to figure it all out, what you had here on the screen, that was all.
Okay, so it's a document that you can access through the Business Centre.
Right, thanks.
So, first thing is, I'm just saying, step six, when you're getting them to enter their highest priority expenses, really stress with them not to put in everything. Only put in their highest priority ones. That way, if it all looks great, fine and dandy, you can add some more in, which is great, but it's really hard to get them to take stuff out once they've already put it in because, okay, which one do we take out? I really want that one, and I really want that one, and I really want that one. And now it looks like I can't have them, which you know, and it's harder to get them to take stuff out.
Right, same.
Check that they've got the highest priority expenses only. Check the frequencies are correct. If they've got a credit card set up, there's a few things that I've seen. For example, I've seen some people put in the credit card payments as an expense in their bills account. So they've actually doubled up. So you look to see if they've done that. Maybe they've put in a credit card payment option because there's three choices. You can go, I pay the full amount each month. I pay just what goes on the card plus an extra amount. Or I just pay a chosen amount. And if they've chosen the first one, I pay the full amount each month, and the credit card sitting up at $10,000, at the end of the first month, you're going to see this $10,000 whack off their bills account, which will totally cripple it. So you want to just check for that. And I put in the thing there, you know, maybe they shouldn't have even set up a credit card because they've got a number of them that are in distress. And they would have been better off just putting credit card payments into their bills account as bills. Monthly payment to credit card, $700 or whatever it might be.
Hey, David, sounds like someone's still muted. There's a fair bit of noise coming through.
I'm just trying to work out how to fix that. Here we go, participants. I'm just going to mute everybody. That solved that problem. Thanks, Mark. Okay, there's everybody there now. Cool. So yeah, just sort of look for idiosyncrasies with the way they set up the credit card. And really, you know, you just want to check that they've only included predictable repeating transactions in their bills account and, if possible, made allowance for rubbery expenses in a separate savings account. Now, I'm not sure if you all understand how it could work if you didn't put everything in. Like, you know, my first spending plan, although I call it a budget then, had one thing. And if you've watched any of my videos or listened to any of the stuff that I've said, you'll know it's my mortgage. And I just set up a plan for my mortgage because that was the scariest thing in my life. And I put it away in a secure place and made sure the mortgage payment couldn't be missed. That reduced a heck of a lot of stress in my life. I still knew that I had other things I had to pay for, but I was happy to deal with them out of a day-to-day account where we had what was left over after the mortgage money was put aside. So a spending plan does not have to include everything to be transformational and life-changing and to liberate people out of stress from worrying about, will I be able to meet these payments? It could be, and I recommended this to you a number of times, if you've got someone who is struggling, you're struggling to get them past the step of entering their transactions because it's like, oh, it's just too big. And they keep going, oh, yeah, I'll get round to it, but they don't. Just say, look, just do the 10 biggest, let's do them right now on the phone. What are the 10 biggest expenses in your year? Mortgage, rates, car registration, monthly insurance bills, annual insurance bills. What are the big ones? All right, just do those. you probably already know, got a rough idea when they 4G. You probably already got an idea how much they cost. All right, we're 90% there. Just clarify those things and just do those. It shouldn't. You should almost be able to get them past that fear of going there in a simple phone conversation. So let's just do those. What if we had a plan to make sure that money popped up every time those things fell due? Would that be liberating? Like if you said to the bank manager, please send me $1,000 every twice a year when the rates are due. Would that change your life? Oh, yeah. Please send me $1,000 once a year when the car registration is due. Would that change your life? Oh, wow, yeah. You just pick the things that you want the money to pop up for and when, and we'll make it happen. And you decide what things you can just deal with if that stress is gone. And it can be as big or as small as they want it to be. So if you haven't been thinking that way, hopefully those thoughts will help make a big difference in the way you're approaching it, which will therefore pass on, you know, have a knock-on effect with your clients. So I've said here, once you're happy that the data is correct and everything looks fine, if it looks fine, okay, move on to phase two and start the monitoring. If it doesn't look fine and there are some challenges ahead, I've sort of laid out a step-by-step process here that you can follow, which will sort of help get over the, oh, I don't know how to deal with somebody who can't afford their life. So I've broken it down into really logical steps, and it's basically there are two main reasons. It's either not enough income or not enough money right now. Okay, so if the plan's not working, you know, if they said, oh, my income's only $500 and it's already got $600 a week worth of expenses, clearly that's a cash flow shortage. If it says they need $5,000 right now, but they've got enough income, well, then clearly it's a lack of current funds. And, I mean, that may have been caused by the first one, with the lack of income. So you'll need to obviously work out. So if we start there, lack of income or lack of current funds, let's drill deeper. So cash flow shortage could be caused by too much outflow. So they might have a lot of debt, which you know, has high repayments. Or they may have just signed up for lots of stuff, like private schooling and you know, they might have had a divorce and have to pay heavy child support payments. Or, you know, lots of choice things that they may have made. And I know divorces isn't necessarily a choice thing, but things that aren't like repayments that are required, they're sort of like what I would call lifestyle choices or other payments that have, that may be optional. And I've included drugs, alcohol and cigarettes in there. I know of one client, one spending planner who's just recently said to me that they had a client who was spending like $100 a week. It was a phenomenal amount on cigarettes, and the spending plan was the catalyst that made them quit, because it basically meant they were going to have a house in no time at all. Because the amount that was getting spent on fags was easily going to make the deposit and the payments on a home that they didn't have, and that was all it took. So they just gone over to the patches, dropped the cigarettes, and freed up a whole lot of cash flow. Okay, so too much outflow is the one side of it, or not enough income is the other side of it. So it could be underemployment. They might have casual, only half a week, or, you know, like not enough work, or maybe they've been off work and didn't have enough income protection because of illness or accident. Or if they're self-employed, maybe their business isn't going that well, or maybe it's even not really a business. And I put they're often in denial about this. You'll find, you know, business owners tend to put on their rose-coloured glasses and say, oh, it's going to get better, this is going to happen soon, and that's going to happen soon, and I've just got to do this, and things will get better. And when you ask them, how long has it been like that? Oh, the last 5 years. And you go, so you really think it's going to change next week? And it may be a case of, let's call in the business coach to see if we can't work out what needs to change there. Lack of qualifications, all sorts of reasons why the income might be lower. And usually there's no quick fix, but, you know, identifying where the problem is the first part of actually fixing it. So we work out if it's too much outflow or not enough inflow. So the second part of that was, okay, was it just a lack of current money? And it may have been caused by, a longer-term lack of income, but it could have been a recent catastrophe. The car blew up and it needed a new motor. There's things that life throws at you from time to time. So it could just be that they're recovering from something like that. Or it could be inadvertent overspending that they're not even aware of. And so I've pulled out we've got a list of six types of expenses that people encounter in their lives. And I've gone, okay, so it could be inadvertent overspending on type three expenses, which is product purchases, things that support your life or things that you just want. Or it could be a lack of forward planning for repairing, replacing, or once-in-a-lifetime things. And so it might be worth sort of discussing with the client those, working out which of these it might have been that's caused the problem, because once you work out what the cause is, it's easier to tackle the solution. So then the document moves on to solutions. So now you should have a clear understanding of the possible reasons behind any challenges in creating a working spending plan. It's time to apply that information to your client's situation. So first of all, identify the problem. So, we've sort of looked at what the problems might be. I'd go and straight to the dashboard and look at the graphs and go, okay, so is this a cash flow problem? Are we okay now and it's heading downhill? Or does it look like over time we can get back on top, but there's some valleys in between here and there that are going to take us out the back door unless we can find some money? So is it a case of the cash flow shortage because of not enough inflow? And if that's the case, what can be done about it? I'm thinking of one of the spending planners in Melbourne said to me, I've got this client and they're putting in all these expenses and I can see that they're not going to be able to afford it. Should I be telling them that they can't do that? And I said, well, no, it's not up to you. Clearly your job is just to help them find reveal the information so they can then make the decisions. And at the end of it, when it was apparent that there wasn't enough income to do what they'd put in their plan, they just turned around and started generating more income. He went and put himself in as an Uber driver, and she went and took some extra shifts, and suddenly the problem disappeared. So, it's putting the information in front of people so they can then make the choices. Whether it's a downsized choice or whether it's an upsized choice is really them, but for them to decide, or it could be a bit of both, earn some more and spend some less. So is it not enough inflow? What can be done about that? Could they generate some extra income, or is it too much outflow? And if so, is it from debt or is it from chosen commitments that's causing the problem? If it's excessive debt, can the debts be refinanced or consolidated to achieve a lower interest rate? And we've already got in step four, I think it is, for people who have got outstanding expenses, ring all of the people you owe money to and say, hey, what can I negotiate? I do have a phone number here on my desk. It's on a little sticky note that's stuck there. It doesn't go anywhere. Of a guy who basically helps people when they are seriously close to bankruptcy. And I'll share that phone number with anybody if you ever need to contact me about that. I'd prefer you find someone in your area. I think we've talked about it before. Be a little wary of all of the debt help people. You certainly want to make sure that you not sending people off to somebody who's just going to line their own pocket by your client's misfortune. All right, so if is it excessive outflow, and are there any commitments that can be scaled back? So that's the cash flow shortage, or is it a lack of current funds? And if it is, what solutions can we look at? So can we postpone some expenses? So, is it possible that we can delay a holiday or is there something that we can push back a bit, or can we spread the load? And I know at the training, those of you that sort of have come in the last 12 months, I guess, we certainly looked at or talked about, for example, insurance payments. If someone's got $1,000 insurance payment coming due shortly, would it be possible to turn that into an $80 or $90 a month payment over the spread it out over a whole year? It's amazing what difference it can make doing things like that. I don't like the idea of making payment plans because usually it costs you more, but if it's a solution to a you know, makes a difference between going out the back door or not going out the back door right now. Well, clearly you'd look at that as an option. And then there's the, okay, if it's just a lack of current funds and you've looked at spreading the load and you've looked at postponing expenses, but there's still a shortfall, you know, could you have a garage sale or is there something that you could sell? You know, that boat sitting in the yard that's under the tarpaulin and that looks like it's going so mouldy that it hasn't been used in the last 3 years, is that something that you maybe could look at the possibility of selling? Once again, you wouldn't say you should sell it, you'd ask the question. So I have created a one-step backwards, two-step forwards spreadsheet, which you guys, the link's in this document, and it's also on the Resources Center. And I'm just going to bring that up so that we can have a look at what it's all about. And I possibly need to share this with you. Hang on a second. All right, hopefully you can all see that. Now, I've put in here a scenario. Oh, that shouldn't say simply budgets. The one I've created for you guys has got Spending Planners Institute in the middle there. It's exactly the same other than that, so excuse my little blooper here. So I've gone, okay, so you've got a $25,000 car loan, for example. It's on 12% interest rate, and you're currently making $550 a month payments. So that's a scenario that you could come across. So this is, it's only the white boxes. In fact, it says here, fill in only the white boxes. And there's a disclaimer that basically says this is just to, it's not to decide whether you should or shouldn't sell something. It's just a, you know, maybe you should go and investigate this further as a possible solution. So it's going to take 61 months, so just over 5 years to pay this off. And there's $8,500 worth of interest to be paid. So I've got here that the car cost 25 grand, but that may not have been the case. So if you could sell it for $20,000, you're going to lose $5,000. That's pretty tough. So if you, and I've done a bit of experimenting, but let's say that you went and spent $5,000 of the proceeds from the sale buying a cheaper car. So you're sick of making the payments at $550 a month. It's been crippling you. You've decided that was done buying a really flash car. You could have just driven around in a $5,000 car and everything would have been fine. So, you know, a bit of buyer's remorse has kicked in. You sold the car for 20 grand. You've lost five and you've taken five of the proceeds. So you've basically now brought the debt down so you only owe $10,000. So over here on the right-hand side, it says, if you choose to reduce the payments, this is the outcome. And if you were to maintain the previous repayments, this is the outcome. And it basically says, okay, if you were to reduce the payments down to keep the term the same, they would be $220 a month instead of $550. You would now only pay $3,400 in interest and you'd save $5,100. So your overall loss or gain, if it was a loss, it would be in red. It's in black, so it's again $102 better off. So losing $5,000 on selling the car has actually made you $100 better off. Yep, looks like it might be a good idea. If you decided to keep the $550 a month payments going, there's only 20 months to go. You'd save 41 months. You'd be paying $1,090 in interest, and you'd save $7,500 in interest. The overall pickup would be almost $2,500. So yep, looks like it's worth investigating further. So that's just a scenario. You can put in whatever amounts that you like in here and experiment. I mean, if I said that the car had cost $30,000 instead of $25,000, it says, oh no, not a good idea because you've now lost $10,000 and you're only going to pick up $5,000. So you're going to lose five. But even so, that might still be something that your client or you may want to consider as an option. So it puts some clarity on some what-if scenarios for you. All right, I'm going to stop there and open up for comments or questions or whatever. I'm sure you've already come across people who have difficulties. So let's Who's got questions? Have I bored you all to sleep? You're all stunned. So, Jenny?
I've got a...
Who's that? Yeah, Diane.
Yeah, I've got a question. Yeah. The not to do with this specifically.
Yeah.
I was playing around with my spending plan and I put in the amount that the, that it said was the worst day. I put that as a deposit in and it still didn't seem, it still didn't make it come up as all green above the line.
So you put it in as a deposit or an opening balance?
As a, I think I put it in as a deposit.
Okay, well that's not what you were supposed to do. If it says your worst day of the year is negative $4,000,
yeah,
you could go and put $4,000 in as, or add $4,000 to whatever opening balance you had.
Right.
And that will make that a zero. If it doesn't do that, I'd go to the settings and rebuild the plan to make sure that it throw everything.
Yeah, I rebuilt it.
Yep.
And I went back and like it was 2,000 something and I went back and that didn't work and then I put in 3,000 and it was okay.
Yeah, so but if you put that that $4,000 in as the deposit,
yep,
and the deposit was already $4,000, you know, it's obviously not going to change anything.
Ah, I see. So it has to be the opening balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I see what you mean.
Yeah. So if you that latest video that I released to go with step 7.
Yep.
I explained that, but maybe you need to just watch that again a bit more closely. It was the opening balance that I increased, not the deposit. Because
there's
two solutions. Obviously, you increase the deposit or you increase the opening balance or a bit of both.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And just while we're talking about videos, I seem to have messed things up on the resources, the business center, because I'm very aware that if I change the link on a video, it will have a flow-on effect to everybody who sent, you know, emails out or steps out to their clients with links in them. But I, it's the system I use. I can upload a new video and plonk it over the top of one that's there, and the link doesn't change. So the links that I had set should have been fine for all time, except when I started using the system, I wasn't 100% up to speed on the best way to do it. And I recently found that some of the videos were actually open to the public. Anybody could find them and watch them, which obviously isn't what we intend because we want people to pay us to be their spending planner and then get access to it. So a few of them I've had to change, and of course that's meant that the links have changed. And so, yeah, you'll need to go back to the business center and download the, like all of the video links are there. And I'm just updating documents at the moment, which is why over the last few days you should have received emails saying, hey, this step's got a new link, you'll have to go and download it. I apologise profusely because it certainly wasn't something I wanted to do, but I've just came to a point where I really needed to do that, but it won't happen again, hopefully.
So the only change to the emails is
the video.
The actual link.
Yeah.
Right, so I don't have to go because you've done all the adjustments on to make it yours, it's yep. easier if I just have to change a link.
Just the link, yep.
Yep.
Yep, yep. And apparently someone Skyped through or whatever and said that step 4 is currently another one that I've broken, so it looks like I've got to fix that one too. So I apologise. It certainly wasn't something that I wanted to do, but I needed to fix some public versus private situations. All right. Jenny? You're not on the phone anymore. I'll unmute you.
Yeah.
So is that?
Hi, David.
Yep, Jenny Graham.
Yes, it's me.
Yep. So you and I had a bit of a chat about a customer who was struggling to make ends meet, which was sort of the catalyst for me to create that document.
Yep.
What solutions did you find for that client?
Well, she basically solved it herself, working out that they could, a few things they could do to earn extra income. And I think the main thing was that she just wasn't aware previously what they were spending, and so it was just a matter of finding out, you know, what that was. And I don't know that they've actually made any changes yet, because they were, you know, they could meet what they were doing. It's just she can see now why there's no room to do anything else.
Yep.
Yeah. So now it's just a matter of, I guess, prioritising if there's other things that are more important than what they're currently doing and making those changes.
Yeah. We'd all like, when we realise there's a problem, we'd like to be able to just click our fingers, wave a magic wand or rub the crystal ball and have the problem resolved instantly.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, life isn't like that, especially when it comes to things like finance and relationships and what have you. But yep. The first step is to actually come to the point where you go, okay, now I know what the problem is.
Yeah. I've done two more since then, David, and it's the same result. Pretty much everyone's spending everything they earn.
Yep.
So I guess as a spending planner, my goal is to get them doing more with their money than what they're currently doing.
Yep.
So is that what you're talking about today?
Yes and no. It was really because I'm, you know, concerned that there were people who really had this fear of step seven and finding that yep. their client couldn't afford their life and then not knowing what yep. to do.
Yeah, no, that is true.
Yes. And so I figured, all right, it's a process. It's a simple yep. process. Let's find out what the problem is.
Yeah. I think what I'm finding is moving on through, like I would stop then, that was a concern for me. And I would like, oh, well, I don't know what to do next. But there's the thing to do next is to move into monitoring.
Yep.
And keep moving through it. And, yeah, keep moving and then start working on where it's not working and making yep. improvements.
Because you'll have people who'll tell you, oh, I can't budget because I don't have enough income to cover what, you know, my basics, so it's pointless even trying. But
yep. whilst that may be... That's my husband.
Sorry?
That's my husband.
Okay.
can I butt in there,
yeah,
Dave and Jenny?
Yep.
I think that's sort of becoming more the norm now that, you know, even if people on $1,000 a week are struggling, and it's not because, you know, they're purposely overspending, but, you know, everything has gone up and we are just so used to just buying the electricity or buying that or what, and not actually sort of stopping and taking stock of it. And it's sort of, you know, the knitting started to unravel and it's just got carried away.
I think
that's because I had a lady the other day and she's on good money and she just couldn't, but once we just put in just a like her first four or five basic things and she was blown away. She said, I just knew that I was not overspending, but I knew that it was my expenses were high, but I didn't realise that it was that much. That, you know, gone are the days where it used to be, you know, this is your income, 80% your expenses, 10% saving and 10% this. You know, most people are really, really struggling to, you know, expenses are. And it's just, I think, pointing them in the direction that there is a solution, that, you know, it takes that guesswork out of it and the worry out of it more than actually the numbers themselves. It's
yep.
just then, oh, okay, all right, I can think differently about this. I've got maybe a different process to try and fix this, you know, find a solution.
Yep.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, and I'm over ambitious or I have rose-coloured glasses, but I would like to think, you just imagine if every person in Australia, we'll start with just Australia, had a spending plan and knew what they could afford and what they couldn't afford, the impact that would have on prices, and some people might be going, huh, prices? The impact on prices is that prices would come down. I'll give you a perfect example. When there's a property boom, people start to panic. Oh, you know, I need my kids or my grandkids or you know, I need to get into the property market before it's unaffordable. And, you know, I saw back in the early 2000s, older people who were drawing money out of the equity in their own property and helping their kids by using that as a deposit for their kids to get into property, because if we don't do something now, they'll never be able to afford a house. And all that was doing was fueling the price rises of property, because they were making it that the kids who weren't ready to be in the market were getting into the market artificially, which just kept the momentum going. If nobody was buying houses, the price of houses would go down. If nobody was buying cars, the price of cars would go down. And if everybody had a spending plan that said you can't afford a boat or a holiday or a whatever because they're too expensive, guess what? The price of boats and holidays and all of that stuff would come down. But the problem is it's all being fueled by readily available credit, which is why everybody's in such a squeeze, because the prices have been allowed to go up because we've been given enough rope to hang ourselves with. Now, I know that the 50, 60, 70 of us, there's not enough of us with enough clients right now to have that impact that we could change Australia and the rest of the world that way. But I'd like to think that before I'm in that box in the ground, we're going to get closer to it. Certainly we can do our best to change it. And just helping people to see what the problem is, it takes away a lot of the stress, and it helps them to start thinking differently about, okay, how else could I do such and such? And, you know, there's always more than one way to skin a cat, and the easiest way is always just to throw money at it. And that's what we tend to do. But when you see, well, okay, I can't afford to throw money at this thing, then you ask the question, how else can I solve it? And there's always another way. Any other comments from anybody on that? So the whole goal for today, you pop your hand up or unmute yourself, I'll see. The whole object of today was to take the fear out of finding a client with a problem and give you a process to go, okay, this is nothing out of the ordinary. This happens all the time. Looks like there's some challenges. This is how we tackle them. All right, now this is what causes problems. Let's work out what it is that's causing your problem. Let's go through a step-by-step procedure to work out what the problem is, so we can then work out what the solution is. And, you know, look, sometimes, you know, you get a pay rise and without even thinking about it, you'll go and do stuff that you'll commit to. It could be that you'll go and buy a better house in a better suburb, you go and buy a fancier car, put the kids in a private school, whatever it might be. And it's really difficult because it's emotional decisions that have to be made to undo that damage. And a lot of people don't want to make those emotional decisions. And so then it's kind of, okay, well, if you don't want to, there's nothing here that you want to change, but you can see that there's a problem, we can do it the slow way. And that is, the next time you get a pay rise, it just doesn't get committed to something. It gets committed to making this balance slightly more in favour of the pluses rather than the minuses. And, you know, take every opportunity to work some overtime, or start thinking about how to generate some extra income, or start studying to get a better quality job, better qualifications to get a better job. So, it may be a slower, longer term thing, but knowing what the score is the catalyst to start that journey. All right. So hopefully you're all going to go and download that document and have a look at it and go, yeah, that all makes sense. I don't think it's finished yet. I think I've still got a lot more that I can add to it. So, I might be updating it from time to time. Because I've got 20 years of experience in my head. And Jenny Brown keeps saying to me, you know, there's so much in your head that we need to get out of there. And, I guess I'm not even aware of how much stuff I'm holding in my head as to how to do stuff and solutions to problems that I've, 20 years worth of thoughts are just bouncing around in there. And now I need to get it all out and put it on paper and put it in a place where others can get benefit of it. So that's one such resource that I will keep working on it. All right. Anybody got any questions that are totally off topic? Any comments? No.
It's me, David.
Lizzie?
Did you go to Tonya's wedding?
No.
Oh,
it was,
no.
I did it. Jenny was invited. I wasn't, so.
Well, oh, what?
Somebody didn't explain. That's where Jenny, I'm sorry, yeah. I meant to put in an apology for Jenny again. She's up in North Queensland.
She's slumming it up in the sunshine.
Yep. Tonya and Daryl, Jenny and Daryl went to Tonya's wedding.
Yesterday. I emailed Daryl the other day, so, yeah.
Yeah. And apparently Saturday is Tonya's 30th birthday, so it's kind of a
wedding
come
bell.
Birthday party come three-day celebration, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That totally was out of left field, but no, I didn't get the invite.
I just wanted to know what the bride wore, that was all.
A dress. Okay, Sam. Where are you? I'll unmute you. Yeah. Oh. You do it. Go.
Sorry. I think we were both muting.
We were.
Anyway, sorry. I was just wondering how you were going with the insurance. You know, the two guys that I've put you in touch with.
Yep. I have some results. I haven't spoken with the guy that you gave me his details, and I meant to yesterday, but I... messing up these videos took a lot of my time. In fact, I think it was 2:30 in the morning Wednesday morning. I went to bed after frantically solving some missing video problems there. I've been flat out on that. So, and with Jenny being away, she normally deals with stuff like that, but she's slumming it up in the tropics, as Lizzie said. So we're at half speed at the moment.
Okay. Are you? Do you intend on ringing him? Because he keeps messaging me every day.
Yeah, I do.
I'll tell him. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. It's just that I keep saying, yeah, he will, and then he keeps sending me messages via LinkedIn saying, just he letting hasn't. You know, he's not called me yet. Like, and I'm a busy man, and then he's written to me again today, so I'll reply. Yeah.
No, I had a deadline for this. Was important to me that I had to have that document created and ready to go.
Okay.
And I've been fixing up videos and stuff that I thought was pretty high priority.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, it's just a case of doing what's screaming at me the loudest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What and how are you going? How many takers have you got for the conference?
I can't tell you the numbers, but I think we've got, it's more than half a dozen. I think it's getting towards 10.
Oh, yeah.
Which reminds me, everybody, you need to book in for the annual conference before the price goes up. It's a hoot. Where's someone that was there last time who can verify that? Lizzie, you were there.
Yeah, that was great. When does the price go up? I didn't read that bit.
Soon.
Oh,
tricky. They were advertising it as the early bird, Lizzie.
That's I kept looking for when the date finished for the early bird, and I couldn't find it. So
I asked, I can't remember her name now. Sorry, the new lady. I asked her, and she said that it's to be
soon.
Okay.
When they reach the first 10, then they'll put the price up. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the dilemma on our side of the fence is that we have to sign up for the whole thing and put a truckload of money on the table. And we'll never get that money back, even if it doesn't happen. So it's a chicken and egg thing. We've got to get enough numbers to cover, that we feel like we can press the green button. Mind you, it's happening, but I just don't want to give them any money until the last, always watch the
pennies. Yeah, worth it. Yeah, anyone sitting on the fence, well worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, get off the fence. Get on the right side of the fence.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you this time, Sam.
I'm watching everybody to see who's getting the awards too, by the way.
Mm.
I'm especially looking for the outstanding new spending planners. I've only had one batch go through so far this year, so I'm looking at you guys.
So we don't qualify anymore, Lizzie and I.
Not for the new one, but you qualify for the Spending Planner of the Year award.
The Spotty.
The Spotty, not the on Spotty, the Spotty.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
It's all right.
All right. So let's talk with a couple of minutes before we hang up the phone about customer acquisition. What have we been doing? Who'd like to tell me the most recent thing they've tried, whether it failed or succeeded? I'm just interested to hear.
I can tell you about a meeting I had this morning.
All right. Why not?
How
did you come to have the meeting?
Pardon?
How did you come to have the meeting?
I was invited to a BNI meeting by a financial advisor that I know. Yep. Used to work somewhere where I was a receptionist for a while. And two or three people asked me for my cards and asked me what I did in more, you know, because you'll have your 15 seconds of fame at these things. Yep. And so I've got it off to a fine art, but it was really good. And I sat next to a lovely lady who said, regardless, I need to use you. And she was saying about her client. And I meet lots of people at these networking events, which I think that, you know, maybe if people aren't networking, I think that it's a good idea. Because you go to these networking events, and I find the ones whose ears prick up are mortgage brokers, financial advisors. And today I sat next to this lovely lady who is commercial lending, I think, or something. Anyway, and she won an award there that did the most business that month and stuff. And she asked me if I would go and sit in her office for a day or two, and she would get me appointments all day.
Oh, that's
she did. I know, and I was like, really? Like, and she's going, yeah, absolutely. She said, whether you join this BNI or not, she said, I am going to use you. And she said, I need you. She said, I do budgets for my clients, and A, I'm not paid for it, and B, I haven't got the time or the inclination. And she said, the fact that, you know, you're here. And then I met another mortgage broker earlier in the week, and he said, I've got a budget. He said, you know, I do budgeting with my clients, but I'm no good at it, and I don't like it. And he's, you know, so... Yeah, I just keep handing my cards out, and yeah, so it's good because it's like big companies now that are interested. So,
yep. So give us your 15-second pitch.
What I have to say.
Yeah,
I had 15. It written down, but I screwed it up. So there's a thing you have to say there. So you have to say your name, what your company name is. You name your company name. Who invited you? And so I say, hi, I'm Samantha Boardman. My company's called Spending Made Easy. The guy that invited me here today is Matt Wilson. Thank you, Matt. I'm a personal budgeting specialist. I get people on track with their finances, get them to pay their bills on time, and get them saving for a better and brighter future. I also offer a money-back guarantee.
That's it.
And that's
perfect.
Yeah. Did you time it?
No, I didn't, but you probably went over by a couple of seconds, but I'll give you...
Yeah, do you know what? I timed it this morning while I was brushing my teeth, and it was 10 seconds, and then I get there, and they told me I had 15 seconds, which is why I threw in that, and I even offer a money-back guarantee. Because I couldn't say that at the beginning, so,
Can I just make the comment, like all of those listening in who are wage earners, who have a job, who are thinking, that's all right for Sam, because... she can choose to go off to these meetings and things, whereas I can't because I've got to go to work. BNI meetings are usually like 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning. Those kind of networking things.
7 a.m. this morning. They were all out of there by 8:30.
Yep. So if there is no way that you can, you know, maybe if you start work at 8 o'clock and you need to sort of push it back a half an hour, surely you could arrange something to get to go to some of these networking events, whether they're before work or after work or in the evening. Certainly worth looking into.
Yeah. And I think as well, for me, because I, as you know, I got made redundant and then I had a year off, I am absolutely determined. And I'm a bit stubborn as well, as you probably know. I'm determined to make a go of this as a full-time job. I do not want another job, so I will do whatever I have to do And I just keep thinking, the more people I sit in front of, the better, and the more people that I get out there. Like, I have yet to be to a net, I have, and I say this every time I go, I have yet to be at a networking event, whether it's in the evening, breakfast, lunch, whatever, where there's somebody else that does what I do. And you're automatically, people are swamped. Like, I had a queue of people waiting to speak to me today. I was talking to this girl, and then there was two more waiting to speak to me to get my cards and to say, you know. And one guy had a cleaning business. He had 500 staff, and he said his staff, he's got quite a high turnover of staff because, you know, they're not paid very well, and it's not a great job, and rah-rah. And he said he was, like, he wants to have a coffee with me next week to talk about helping his staff budget that, so that maybe he retains his staff if they can budget them better, you know, if they do the budgeting better. So it's just getting out there.
Yep. I've said in the past, I've heard you say this, that you don't necessarily get results instantly, but the more you spread those business cards and spread the love, there will be a point in time where those people remember you, and if you're still there, they'll come.
Yeah, and you know the one where I said the lady that I met at a breakfast who put 140 staff from weekly to monthly, and they were all looking armed.
Yep.
She's now put me in touch with her HR department who want to proceed, is what they wrote. So, right, we want to proceed with this. And I've got a meeting at 3:30 this afternoon with their HR department to go forward with their 140 staff. So it's just, and that was just somebody who I was sat at the same table as at a breakfast meeting that Magda Zabanski was speaking at. So I just think, sometimes I concentrate on getting my clients, individual clients, like doing a few Facebook ads and stuff and asking around.
Yep.
And then other times, because I'm going on holiday next week, all I've done is like put myself out there, dished out all my cards. And then what I did earlier this week is I wrote to all of them and said, I'm actually going away next Thursday, but I'm having a special offer for July, and I'm going to give them discount off the spent on the setup fee. And then I'm going to ring them all in July as well, when I get back. But people have said, no, I need to see you now. So now I'm really busy before I go away.
So that was an interesting outcome that you didn't expect.
Yeah. Like,
telling them you're going to be away, they all want to talk to you now.
Yeah, right. I wanted them all to say, oh, okay, well, speak to me when you're in July then. And then like these people with the weekly to monthly said, no, we need to see you before the end of the week. So I've got an appointment.
You need to take on a paraplanner, Sam.
What is a paraplanner?
Dave, she doesn't know what a paraplanner is.
Well, it could be someone who's fully qualified, like any of the guys on the call, to help you with look after those clients. Or a paraplanner is somebody who's done the training, but they don't actually have their own login to the system, so they can't create their own clients, but they can work with yours.
Oh, yeah.
And you pay them away.
Don't know about that. But I've got some advice. I did a course yesterday with a guy called Dale Beaumont. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Business Blueprint. And I did a 3-day course with him. He's got a thing called 52 Ways. So basically he gives you 52 ideas to change your business or to whatever, and the stuff that he gave us, like, stuff that I didn't even know existed, was just bizarre. And it was the best network, the best like marketing or whatever it was day that I've ever done, and it was awesome. And he does 3 days. If you go on his website, Business Blueprint, and he's doing a tour at the minute of free seminars. And it's called 52 Ways. And he literally says, number one, do this. Number two, do this. And you break the cover. And then he literally gives you 52 things. But some stuff is not relevant because, I don't feel big enough or whatever. But obviously, he would tell you off for saying that. But there's so many stuff that I didn't know existed was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. How to do a video in seconds and how to put stuff together. So it was awesome. Yeah, I highly recommend
it. Definitely, once you start a business and like step out of being an employee and step into the business arena, it's a whole different thing, and there is just so much out there that you can learn and grow from, and it's really a never-ending journey. It's you can just grow in so many ways.
Yeah.
Alrighty, I think we've used up our hour well and truly. I hope that you all go and find the document and the spreadsheet and have a bit of a play with them and a look through it. And hopefully I've been able to take away some of the fear, if there was any, of how to deal with a customer who is going to cause problems from a point of view of, I don't know how to solve their problem. And if you get familiar with that, it'll just make that a lot easier, which is the whole aim of having these monthly calls.
Yeah, somebody's written, sorry, I'm just reading some of the notes. Somebody's written, what does BNI stand for? I think it's Business Networking, is it Institute?
International,
yeah, and it's like the biggest networking group in the world. It's actually a franchise, and you can, they don't allow anybody more than one. So if you're a bookkeeper, there's no more than one bookkeeper and stuff. So you Google BNI, they have chapters, you know, there's like, I think there's 12 chapters in Adelaide, so... And you can go to each one twice, which is what I do, so I don't have to pay, because they want $3,000 for the year. So,
yeah, there are others as well that you could look at. BNI is certainly one. So yeah, get out there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Get this recording up on the website as quickly as possible, but you already know that those two resources have been added, so you can go and look at them at your leisure, as whenever it suits you. I've got a funny feeling there was something else that I really meant to remind you all about. I've mentioned about the video links. Some of them are being changed, so I'm putting the dates on the resources center so you can see if they have changed when they're updated. Where's that? Solve that problem. Don't forget to book in for the annual conference, and I'll talk to you all this time next month, if not before. Cool. All right, everybody. Great chatting with you. Thank you for those who shared, and for those who didn't, I'm sure that was all fine and dandy. All right, talk to you next time. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Good night.